Blog Talk Radio.
In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus our Christ. Good God day to all of you. This is the day that our Lord has made, and we will rejoice on purpose and be glad in it, no matter what. Why? Because our Lord is good, and His mercy is new every morning, and it is from everlasting to everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, and I would like to welcome everyone to today's broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, live from HNLC Studios. I give all honor and all praise and all glory and worship and adoration to the head of my life and my everything, my Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. I give recognition and respect to my pastors, Chief Apostle Dr. Prince A. Miles and Pastor Lady Monica R. Miles of the International Gospel Deliverance Center Church located in Southfield, Michigan. I also give recognition and respect to my covering, my supporters, and the founders of Harvest New Life Church International, Apostle Charles E. Ellis and Pastor Patty Ellis of Plano, Texas. I thank God for them allowing me to be a part of the HNLC Studios broadcasting team, all for the glory and honor of God. You can listen to my podcast called Food for Thought any time of the day at your leisure on Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Odyssey, and many other podcast platforms where we study the Word of God together. All you have to do is type in the Little One, Food for Thought, and the podcast should come up. We're going to give everybody an opportunity to get their study tools, all of the things that we use when we get together to study the Word of God on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and we'll be right back with a word of prayer and get right into our study. Amen. I trust everyone has had an opportunity to get their Bibles and notebooks and pens and paper, all of the things that we use when we get together to study the Word of God on Tuesdays and Thursdays at this time, 11 a.m. Central Standard Time, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. Let me take time to make an apology for the callers on this past Tuesday's session. There were a few callers who wanted to be recognized on the air, and I did not notice that until toward the end of the broadcast. But what I wanted to let you know is that when we have our study sessions on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we are limited on time. So we will have a specific day where all of those who support the ministry and our faithful listeners will be able to call in and ask questions and have a fireside chat, if you will, about the Word of God. Amen. Truly, I am thankful and I am grateful for all of the listening audience and for all of those who tune in every Tuesday and Thursday to listen and to take part in our study as a family. In the body of Christ, united by one common denominator, and that is Jesus the Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let us go before the throne of grace with a word of prayer. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity, this moment that you have blessed us with. Lord, we realize that everything that we have and all of who we are is because of you. You keep us, you protect us, you bless us, you love us. We thank you for this gift of this new day, which we have never seen before in our lifetime. Lord, help us on this day to bring you glory, the glory and honor that is due your name. Help us to exude your love, your compassion, your kindness, your patience, your long-suffering to those in need and to others as we go about our day on this day. Lord, we glorify you and we magnify your name and we lift you up and we give you glory and honor and praise and worship. We reverence you. We respect you. We are in a sense of awe. For you have chosen to put all of your holiness, all of your power, all of the essence of who you are, you have chosen to dwell in us, in earthen vessels. Not perfect, but yet perfect, and made perfect by Jesus the Christ, whom we have accepted into our heart as our Lord and Savior. Heavenly treasure in imperfect earthen vessels, yet made perfect by Jesus the Christ. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for making the way for us to be able to fellowship face to face and come before the throne of grace boldly to commune with you, O God, and to have you talk to us individually as well as collectively through your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask as your conduits and vessels that you hide us all behind the cross on this day. Lord, we want to lift you up in everything we do, for you alone deserve the glory, and you alone are worthy of all the honor. And you alone, O God, deserves all of the praise. Lord, we are humbled before you. And we are in awe of you. And we love you with every fiber of our being. And it is our will to serve you. It is our will to want you. It is our will to need you, to fellowship with you, and to seek your face. Holy Spirit, I ask that you put your words on my tongue and on my lips, that which you will have me to deliver unto your people on this day. We thank you for your presence, O God, resting on us, moving through us. Have your way in this broadcast, O Lord, for this is your broadcast. We ask that you bless and look on the listening audience, one by one, name by name, here and far, no matter what country, no matter what age, no matter what nation, O God. Touch, heal, and deliver, and meet and exceed the secret petitions of their heart. Answer prayer, O God, according to your will. For we say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done in and on the earth as it is always done in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you for answered prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the living Jesus. Lord, the Lord is so good. He's so wonderful. He's so excellent. And he deserves all of the glory. We are continuing and possibly will conclude our study today in James chapter 4. We will be beginning at the 10th verse, and we will continue to read down to the last verse, which is the 17th verse of James chapter 4. Of course, I will be reading from the Amplified Classic Edition, and all of us can follow along in our translations as we always do when we get together to study the Word of God. Amen. Let us go to James chapter 4 and let us begin at verse 10. And it says, humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He will lift you up and make your lives significant. Jesus did that. And we as disciples of Christ, those of us who have named the name of Christ and have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and even those who are coming into the kingdom on this day, we are to walk and talk and live and breathe and move and have our being in Christ. And we are to exemplify him as he was on this earth, and exemplify him in all that we do. If we go to Philippians chapter 2, and let's read through verses 5 through 11. This is the perfect example of humility, our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. It says, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility, who, although being essentially one with God, and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained or boasted about or brought to the forefront of everyone's attention. Isn't it interesting how verse 5 says, let this same attitude, purpose, and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. That is an act of our will. We have to let the same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus, who, although being essentially one with God, and those of us who have named the name of Christ and have Christ living in us, this verse applies to us. We are one and have been made one with God through Jesus the Christ. And yes, because Jesus the Christ is in us, we are also in the form of God. Because Jesus the Christ has made us born again and given us his DNA, we too possess the fullness of the attributes which make God God. But it's only through Christ. But we in and of ourselves, we cannot look at this equality with God, being made in his image and in his likeness. We cannot think that this equality with God is a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. But Jesus, instead of understanding that and knowing all of that and being aware of all of that, he didn't bring it to the attention of others. He didn't boast about it. He didn't walk around with his nose in the air. He didn't brag about it. He stripped himself, verse 7 says. He stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant. We have to follow Christ. As Christ is, so we are too if we are born of God and in the kingdom of God. But we cannot boast about it, bring attention to ourselves, and lift ourselves up in the wrong spirit. See, we can boast in Christ and boast in God, but sometimes we can do it in the wrong spirit. And instead of boasting in a spirit of humility, we boast in a spirit of arrogancy. We must be careful as the body of Christ, not to do that. But we are to walk like Christ. Jesus stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And he was tempted, as we discussed in Tuesday's broadcast, he was tempted in every area that we are, yet without sin. He was perfect. This is why we say we have heavenly treasure in imperfect human earthly vessels, yet made perfect only through Jesus the Christ. Verse 8 says, and after he had appeared in human form, so after he stripped himself of all the privileges and all of the rightful dignity that, you know, he himself had and still has, from the beginning of time, before the creation of time, before the creation of anything, after he appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his willing obedience to the Father to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, because he stooped so low, God has highly exalted him and has freely bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that in and at the name of Jesus, every knee should and must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's everybody, whether human or non-human, whether physical and natural or supernatural. That's in both realms. That in and at the name of Jesus, every knee should and must bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue frankly and openly confess and acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Talking about James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves, feeling very insignificant in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you He will lift you up and make your lives significant. Our lives have been made significant because of Jesus the Christ. We are seated in heavenly places with him right now. What does that mean? All of us who are born of God have God's DNA. We have the DNA of Christ. We have been made righteous. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are more than a conqueror through him who loved us. We can only be those things through Christ, because it is in him that we live. It is in him that we move. And it is in him that we have our very being, our very existence. And by faith, we walk like him. We talk like him, and we are being taught of the Holy Spirit to reflect him all the more. We are continually being shaped and fashioned and formed into the perfect image of Jesus the Christ through the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 says, my brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. He that maligns a brother or judges his brother is maligning and criticizing the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a practicer of the law, but you are a censor and a judge of it. We talked about the law, the royal law, in James chapter 2, as we have been studying the book of James. Let's go to James chapter 2 and let's look at verses 8 through 14. James says, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, if indeed you really fulfill the royal law in accordance with Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. You do well. But if you show servile regard, prejudice, favoritism for people, you commit sin and are rebuked and convicted by the law as violators and offenders. For whoever keeps the law, we're talking about the royal law of love. For whoever keeps the law as a whole but stumbles and offends in one single instance has become guilty of breaking all of it. And they were talking about the Mosaic law, I believe here. For he said, he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not kill. If you do not commit adultery but do kill, you have become guilty of transgressing the whole law. So speak and so act as people should who are to be judged under the law of liberty, the moral instruction given by Christ, especially about love. For to him who has shown no mercy, the judgment will be merciless. But mercy, full of glad confidence, exults victoriously over judgment. What is the use or profit, my brethren, for anyone to profess to have faith if he has no good works to show for it? Can such faith save his soul? Talking about the royal law of love, which is a constant, continual walking and walking out every millinanosecond of the day. The royal law of love was given by the new covenant. Who is grace? Who is Jesus the Christ? As he said in John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you. How much does Jesus love us? How much does God love us? Because he's telling us that is how much we should love one another. He said in verse 34 in John chapter 13, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you. So you too should love one another. This is so important that we exude the same love that Christ has for us to other people. Because he says in verse 35, by this, by what? By loving one another just as I have loved you, shall all men know. They will not be in the dark about who we are. There will be no obscurity. There will be no questioning. Because the light of Christ will illuminate and reveal to them, because we love one another as Christ loved us, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, Jesus said. If you love one another, and if you keep on showing love among yourselves, verse 11 in James chapter 4, my brethren, do not speak evil about or accuse one another. He that maligns a brother or judges his brother is maligning and criticizing the law and judging the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a practicer of the law, but a censor and judge of it. Verse 12 says, one only is the lawgiver and judge, who is able to save and to destroy. The one who has the absolute power of life and death. But you, who are you that you presume to pass judgment on your neighbor? Reminds me of the scripture, I believe, in Matthew that says, how can you take the speck out of your brother's eye when there is a big log or beam in your own eye? Verse 13 says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city and spend a year there and carry on our business and make money. Verse 14 says, yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. And Jesus told us not to take thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow has troubles of its own. He said, take no thought. That means don't worry. You trust in me. You believe in me. You lean on me. You rely on me. Then rest in peace. Be at peace in me. Be still and know that I am God, and I will take care of everything. He takes care of the sparrows, and he knows when one of them falls. And yet we as mankind are worth more than many sparrows to him. How much does God love us? Verse 14 in James chapter 4 says, yet you do not know the least thing about what may happen tomorrow. What is the nature of your life? You are really but a wisp of vapor, a puff of smoke, a mist that is visible for a little while and then disappears into thin air. Verse 15 says, you ought instead to say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live and we shall do this. I notice that a lot of the older saints, the more seasoned saints, will say, if the Lord willing, if the Lord is willing. They are quoting this scripture because it should be God's will at all times. Whatever his will is, should be his will at all times. And how do we know the will of God except we get into the Word of God? To know him, to commune with him, to fellowship with him, to hear his voice, to hear what he has to tell us. To get ourselves in a place where there are no distractions, no interference, where we are still and we can hear him clearly. You know, it reminds me of the scripture in 1 Kings. Let's go over there. Let's go to 1 Kings quickly, chapter 19. And let's look at verses, I believe, 11 through 13, I believe. And this is a powerful chapter to read. This is when Elijah had been given a word from Jezebel, and he was running from her. And the word of the Lord came to him as he was in the cave. And in verse 11 of 1 Kings 19, it says, and he said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. The Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind came, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle stillness and a still, small voice. Did you notice how all of those things exemplify power? The wind rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before him, but the Lord was not in the wind. And then the earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of gentle stillness, and that is where the Lord was, a still, small voice. Getting into our Matthew 6 and 6, our secret closet, where we can hear him to us, minister to us, instruct us, guide us and lead us and help us through the Holy Spirit within us, building ourselves up on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Spirit knows the perfect will of Almighty God. This is why our prayer language is so important. But going back to James chapter 4, verse 15, it says, you ought instead to say, if the Lord is willing, we shall live, and we shall do this or that thing. Verse 16 says, but as it is, you boast falsely in your presumption and your self-conceit. All such boasting is wrong. Verse 17, the last verse in James chapter 4, it says, so any person who knows what is right to do, but does not do it, to him, it is sin. How do we know what is right to do? There must be a measure of standard. A standard of measurement. Who is the standard of measurement? Of morality, of virtue, of what is right? But God Almighty, who is a good God, who gives us all good and perfect gifts, who in him there is no shadow of turning, and there is no evil. He said in Jeremiah, let's go over there, Jeremiah 29:11, a very well quoted and familiar passage of scripture, but yet very powerful. God himself said, for I know plans that I have for you, says the Lord. And the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God, searches the mind and spirit of God. This is why our prayer language is so important, because the Holy Spirit prays the perfect will of God. The Lord says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace. Thoughts and plans for welfare. What is that from God's point of view for us? Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace from God's point of view for us, and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. Verse 12 says, then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear and I will heed you. And then verse 13 says, you will seek me, and you will inquire for and require me only as a vital necessity, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. That is an act of our will. God knew us before we ever knew ourselves. Before we were in our mother's womb. Before he chose to place us in the families that we are in. He knew us first. And he loved us first. Before anyone else loved us. God loved us first. And with all of who he is, you know, if we think about the power of God and his holiness and the extent and the power of who he is, and how in the Old Testament God's power rested in the Ark of the Covenant, and only the priests were able to handle the Ark of the Covenant, and only the priests were able to go before him who rested and dwelt in the most holy place. And if they weren't right, they would drop dead. But such power and such glory and such majesty in all of his fullness because of the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ. All of that, they have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit have chosen to set up residence and abide and live in us. Powerful is that. He loved us so much, and he wanted to be with us so much that he says, I'm going to live in you. And I'm going to walk in you, and I'm going to talk through you, and I'm going to move through you. And I'm going to teach you my ways. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day, this moment, this lesson, oh God. And we thank you, Lord, let it solidify in us and speak to us all the more, Holy Spirit, and give us even more insight into what has been taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May the Lord continue to bless us. May the Lord himself continue to keep us as he does. May the Lord himself continue to lift his face and cause his face to shine upon us. And may the Lord himself continually be gracious unto us. And may he continue to lift his countenance and turn his face toward us. And may he continue to give us within our spirit his peace, the fullness of him that filleth us all in all. This is Minister Renee Ellis, also known as the Little One, saying take some time to think about how much God loves you today and bless him for it. Amen. Until we meet again, good God day to you.